And a very good morning to you. How are you? Hope you're well. It's exactly 11 a.m. GMT. That's Greenwich Mean Time for Sunday, 12th of February, or February 12th, 2017. My name is Richie Allen. This is Sunday View. As always, during the next 40 minutes to 60 minutes, because I have no idea how long this is going to last, do tweet me. It's at Richie Allen Show, or email richie@richieallen.co.uk. Tell me what you're thinking about the big stories this particular Sunday. Let's crack on then, shall we?
For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com.
Sure is. Sunday View. Do bookmark davidicke.com/headlines. Much of what I talk about today over the next 40 to 60 minutes, because I've never been any good at timing this, will be covered in depth and in great analytical, or with great analytical verve, on davidicke.com. We are broadcasting live right now on Fab Radio 2, on the TuneIn Radio app. Check out TuneIn Radio, and of course on davidicke.com. And my great friend Aaron Calland tells me we're only a couple of days away from having a brand new richieallen.co.uk website. Great stuff. Good afternoon or good evening to Jackie in Australia. How you doing, Jackie? Nice to know you're listening. Plenty of tweets coming in. I will get to those in a few minutes, so do bear with me. And I don't have to be talking about something specifically. There's anything you want to put on the agenda, you need only tweet at Richie Allen Show. Couldn't be any easier than that. Had a lovely afternoon yesterday. I want to give a big shout out to two good friends of mine, Terry Howell, my mate Tez in Salford, and Dean, who took great care of me yesterday. They took me to see Salford Red Devils play Wigan Warriors in the Rugby League at the AJ Bell Stadium, which was a fantastic afternoon out. Brilliant game of rugby. 26-0 down Salford were at half time, but rallied well in the second half with 16 points and 3 tries. And I think if there was any more time on the clock, I think they would have mounted a great comeback. Had a fabulous day out, guys. Thanks very much. Thank you, Tez, big supporter of the Richie Allen Show, and my new mate, Dean. I know, Brendan, I know whenever I don't mention sport very often, there are always those who weigh in straight away with bread and circuses. Listen, I'm well aware of it. I'm well aware of ultimately the distracting nature or power of sport. I'm well aware of that. But it's lovely to spend an afternoon. And rugby league and rugby union is not like football or soccer. Okay, it isn't. It isn't that mega behemoth, global, money-grabbing, horrible monster that soccer is now. You know, you meet regular people, and not only that, but it's affordable for people to go and watch, and the players are not earning 500 times more than the average supporter, and it's brilliant to watch. Brilliant sports. I had a great day. Thank you very much again. So as I said, I hope your weekend has been good. I hope you're well. Let's crack on then. I'm going to take a quick look, as always, at the Sunday newspapers and the headlines on those newspapers. Let's have a look at them. Broadsheets mainly, it must be said today. Oh, before I do that, let me take this opportunity while I have your attention, before I make you fall asleep by telling you what's in the newspapers. Tomorrow begins a brand new starting time for the programme. We begin Monday to Thursday at 7 p.m. GMT, not 8 p.m. So we begin an hour earlier. The show isn't any shorter, still a 2-hour show. We finish at 9, 7 till 9 p.m. GMT from tomorrow. And if you are an avid listener to the live show, if you do listen to the live show regularly, I won't say religiously, regularly, do make a note of that, and don't be complaining tomorrow when you tune in at 8 o'clock and we're halfway through. 7 p.m. tomorrow. The Sunday Times. Let's kick off with the Sunday Times, Rupert Murdoch's Sunday Times. The Sunday Times leads with, and this is the headline, Secret Labour Search for Corbyn Heir. Secret Labour Search for Corbyn Heir. The Times says that documents leaked to it warn that Labour is facing meltdown under the leadership of Jeremy Corbyn. The Sunday Times says the party is conducting secret succession planning for his departure. They name Angela Rayner and Rebecca Long Bailey. They've not been MPs very long. but those are named as potential successors to Corbyn. They also name John McDonnell. The leaked research suggests Labour is heading for its worst election defeat for 30 years. Now, Corbyn fans will say, and I know they will, polls are manipulated, they are fake, they are false, they are dirty, they are filthy. Just look at the polls in the US election. Look at the Brexit polls. Yes. Yes, I would agree with them. Sky News ran this report a little bit earlier on today on this very story that there is a plan to replace Jeremy Corbyn. Shall we do that again? This is the Sky News report.
Well, apparently Labour's internal polling company has been asking voters what they think of three senior figures in the party, which is very unusual. One of them is John McDonnell, who's Jeremy Corbyn's right-hand man, the Shadow Chancellor. The other two are less well-known. They are rising stars of the party. Angela Rayner, who you can see on your left, is the party's education spokesperson, and Rebecca Long-Bailey on the right has recently been promoted to Shadow Business Secretary. Both of them only elected just 2 years ago. Now, voters were asked at a focus group in Manchester, we're told by the Sunday Times, what they thought of these three figures in the party. Now, a senior source has told me that this is, in their view, succession planning for an era after Jeremy Corbyn steps down, although the party deny that he is planning to and say that this was a routine exercise. The polling also found quite a devastating view of Jeremy Corbyn among voters. At that focus group, he was apparently described as boring, looking fed up, and like a scruffy school kid. It found he was one of the least popular party leaders in Britain after UKIP's Paul Nuttall and the Lib Dems' Tim Farron. So a serious allegation that Labour's internal pollster, BMG, has been looking into figures who Jeremy Corbyn himself has said are very much rising stars of the party and could be leaders in the future.
Yeah, so again, Corbyn supporters will point to the Sunday Times and Sky News, and Corbyn supporters will say, as Donald Trump supporters are saying, this is evidence that he is a serious threat. The establishment hates him. He must be a serious threat. Trump supporters keep emailing us and telling us, why can't we see what's going on? Richie, oh please, why aren't you supporting the Donald? They hate him. That must prove that he's not one of them. Same with Corbyn. Who is Jeremy Corbyn? He's a career politician, decades on the bank, on the back benches. Career politician. I see him as a smug, patronising know-it-all. That's how he comes across to me. This borne out by the Sunday Times leaked report on Labour's own internal polling, by the way. Now, I know the parliamentary party are out to get him, allegedly, and the Blairites and all of that. Corbyn has never been a man of the people. That is utter nonsense. He comes from a wealthy background. He's a champagne socialist who, in my opinion, blew the limited chance he has had in the limelight. Now, I've said this time and time again on the programme. If he ever really had a chance. In other words, if he was ever really committed to telling the real truth. Corbyn is a mumbling, pretty hard to watch, as I said, smug git. That's what you get with Corbyn. Well, as I said, we're standing for social justice. We're standing for renationalisation. We're standing for this, we're standing for that. Grow some balls, man! Tell the truth about the central bank conspiracy controlling everybody. That's what it comes down to, Jeremy, doesn't it? The fact that you have to borrow hundreds of millions of pounds to pay for things like the NHS. Borrow from who? And this is what Corbynistas, these idiots who are sucked in by Corbyn, this is what they don't understand. Borrow from whom? Whom are we borrowing millions and trillions and billions of pounds from to pay for this, that and the other thing? This is the truth of it. This is the very, very tip of the conspiracy. What has Jeremy Corbyn done about that? Banks, 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 banks. Nothing. Nothing, no more than Donald Trump will in America take on the system of capital, the financial system, which is the how do you put it? It is the elite's greatest tool with which to control all of us. No. You have Trump screaming about Muslims and travel bans, lunatic, and you have not a lunatic, but Jeremy Corbyn mumbling like a Muppet about social justice for all and everybody. That's what we're here to do. And I'm going to try and act really calm, even though I'm getting really annoyed that you pleb journalists keep asking me the same questions. That's Jeremy Corbyn. Talk about the fucking money system. Then I'll believe in your heroes, Jeremy Corbyn and Donald Trump and people like that. Getting sick of it now. Also on the front of the Sunday Times today, the headline, another smaller story, but a story given less credence on the front page. Holocaust denial book sold on Amazon. That's all it says. Holocaust denial book sold on Amazon. I'd love to tell you more about it, but the Sunday Times is a subscription site, so I don't subscribe to it. I'm guessing that folks are pissed off that you can readily buy books denying the Holocaust online. Why are they getting pissed off? Just write another book to add to the 500 million in circulation already telling us about the Holocaust. Or invite the authors of those books denying the Holocaust to a public debate. That's the academic thing to do, right? Don't bitch about the fact they're publishing books. Invite them to a public debate. Oh, we won't do that because we'd be worried about offending people. Yeah. And importantly, also on the Sunday Times front page, another one of these fake news stories. Well, at least I think it might be fake. I can't prove it. The headline, Russia steps up cyber attacks on UK. That's right. That's right. The way we're going, Russia is eventually going to be blamed for the Holocaust. They're going to move the blame from the Nazis and the lunatics whom surrounded Adolf Hitler. They're going to move the blame to Russia. It's just more Russiaphobia in the media today. Presumably, UK intelligence services have been telling the media that Russia is stepping up on cyber attacks on the UK. The media are furiously scribbling, lovely, tell us more, right, Russia, they're trying to kill everybody, are they, in the UK, lovely, we'll print that tomorrow. No questions. Where's the questions? Hang on a second, Mr. MI5, can you prove that? No? All right, we'll print it anyway. On to the Sunday Telegraph. Berko in new Brexit furore over neutrality, screams the headline. Berko in new Brexit furore over neutrality. The Telegraph, basically, the Sunday Telegraph, reporting today that John Berko, the Speaker of the House, had spoken about his voting stance in a question and answer session with students at Reading University. Apparently, the Speaker is expected to remain neutral at all times, and impartial, I should say, politically impartial at all times. His spokeswoman said the way he had cast his ballot had no impact on his ability to deal fairly with MPs. And if you'll bear with me just one second there, you can hear what Berko said to the students. To the students. Here he is.
This may not be popular with some people in this audience. Personally, I voted to remain. I thought it was better to stay in the European Union than not. Partly for economic reasons, being part of a big trade bloc, and partly because I think we're in a world of power blocs, and I think for all the weaknesses and deficiencies of the European Union, it's better to be part of that big power bloc in the world.
Well, that's what he said, John Berko, talking to the students. A lot of people not happy about that. It's the second time in a week that his opinions have been scrutinised by everybody. He did say, didn't he, last week, we covered it, that he was against Donald Trump addressing Parliament. Now, that interview, or that soundbite, by the way, is over a week ago. It was taken on February 3rd at Reading University. His enemies are saying, Berko, that he breached impartiality. He's saying that he has to be impartial in matters before the House, and that what he says outside that is his own business. And as the referendum was such a long time ago, June 23rd, what difference does it make? Yes. Shall we move on to the Sunday Express? I'm aware that we're getting tweeted ferociously. I will come to the tweets. I do promise you that. It's coming up for 15 minutes past the hour. So the Sunday Express headline, Trump aid! President plans spectacular UK rally to help war veterans. What does it mean? Well, the Sunday Express are reporting that Donald Trump hopes to book and sell out a massive arena to celebrate the UK's special relationship with the US when he visits Britain later on in 2017. An unnamed source told the Sunday Express as that plans are under discussion with Whitehall officials to stage the event, and the £10 ticket sales will be donated to Britain's war veterans. All sounds lovely, doesn't it? They're talking about Wembley Stadium or Birmingham or Cardiff, the Millennium Stadium. They're talking about a number of different venues. Again, it's an unnamed source, which did tell the Sunday Express that Donald Trump is a huge supporter of the military. Charge £10 for people to attend, with every single penny going to the poppy appeal. And then Trump's source said, the Sunday Express's source, who knows Donald Trump, said it would be a triple win. The language they're using these days. Trump loves rallies. It would be a triple win, a win for the public, a win for the Royal British Legion, of which the Queen is patron, and a win for the Donald. So that's the front page of the Sunday Express. Not that important, the front page, or that interesting. That Trump story isn't very interesting. However, there are a couple of excellent stories inside the Sunday Express today, and they are very important. 16 minutes past the hour. I tell you what, before I tell you about the Sunday Express stories, let me just read a few tweets. Let me scroll all the way back down there. Adnan. Adnan, good morning. Richie, I love your show, but don't get why you hate on Corbyn. He's the only non-liberal neocon Zio politician there is. Adnan, I don't hate Jeremy Corbyn. I don't hate anybody. I have a very, very strong opinion about politics and politicians, what they can and what they can't achieve. And I don't make any exception for Corbyn, mate. I don't hate him. God, I don't hate anybody. I don't even hate Sean Addle. And your newswear. I don't have hate within me. I don't have the... I used to be a very... Way, way, way back, I used to get angry about things and angry with people. But not anymore, I don't. Get frustrated, but I don't get angry. Based Ninja Richie, I heard your views reference the student burning the £20 note. I tweeted him, not threatened him. It's clear that the guy is... is sad. He obviously appears to be bullying them by threats against this kid is pointless. Yes, a Cambridge student burned money in front of a homeless person last week, and he's been vilified by that. Gail loves her rugby league. Hi to True Libertarian as well. Hi to Free to Be on Twitter, mocking the sources of the newspapers. I can understand that. Spirit Samba as well. Good morning. You see, so many tweets come in. I get so far behind, I don't know what people are talking about. Good morning, Sue. Paul tweets, Richie, good morning. Corbyn has had ample opportunity to shake things up and has done nothing. He's a system sycophant through and through. That's Paul on Twitter. Paul, thank you. I appreciate that. Let me move on. Sue says Corbyn should use his platform while he still can. He won't, Sue. He's never going to talk about the Rothschild banking empire. He's never going to talk about the system of capitalisation and finance in Europe. He's never going to do that. Never. If there was any danger that he would have ever done that, he wouldn't have been elected leader of the Labour Party. Something would have happened to him. Tommy says, Richie, do you really believe that World War III is on the cards? Tommy, I don't know, mate. I know there is an agenda to push us towards it. That's all I can say there. Stevie tweets, I say bring Trump to Westminster and have an honest politician ask him live about investigating 9/11. Well, Stevie, that's all very well, but if he does address Westminster, which Westminster MP is going to ask about 9/11? None. You might do it, but you're never going to be left or given access to an event like that. Simple as that. Right, I mentioned, apart from the non-story about Trump and the stadium rally in Britain for the poppy appeal, there are some excellent stories in the Sunday Express today, dotted around the paper. There are really good stories in the Sunday Express. It's important that when you demonise and decry and lambast and attack the mainstream media the way we do, they must be encouraged where real journalism is presented, they must be encouraged to continue to do that. Here's a story from the Sunday Express, 19 minutes past the hour. Clampdown on councils boycotting goods from Israel in anti-Semitism crackdown. This is a massive, massive story which didn't get covered on the Andrew Marr show today, which didn't get covered on Stephen Dixon's breakfast show on Sky News today. This is a huge story. Listen to this. As reported in the Sunday Express, councils will be prevented from boycotting goods from Israel in a new crackdown on anti-Semitism. Wow. The move, writes the Sunday Express, will stop local authorities from introducing restrictions on the companies and countries they use after pro-Palestinian hard-left councils imposed bans on goods from Israeli settlements in the West Bank. We're going to stop it, says the government. Who's saying this? Well, the Community Secretary, Sajid Javid. He has said he will unveil further steps tomorrow, Monday, to legally require councils to treat suppliers equally. This is tyranny. This is tyranny. The Sunday Express continues. Javid said, we need to challenge and prevent divisive town hall boycotts which undermine good community relations. Javid continued, no council should be boycotting any company or country unnecessarily. Instead, their main focus should be delivering the value for money taxpayers rightly expect. We will clamp down on these inappropriate and needless boycotts once and for all. No council will be able to boycott any country or industry unless restrictions have already been put in place by the government. So Javid is saying, unless the British government agrees to sanction a country, local authorities can't do whatever they think is the right thing to do. Imagine. No council, he said, should be boycotting any company or country unnecessarily. Well, a lot of councils in this country think it's very necessary to boycott Israeli goods. Israeli goods particularly produced in areas of illegal settlement. What an asshole Sajid Javid is. I wonder, before coming up with this nonsense, have they canvassed Jewish communities to ask for their opinion on the boycotts? I bet they haven't. I bet they haven't, because they might be surprised at how many Jews do not support the racist, apartheid Zionist state of Israel. Because every Jewish man and woman I know in this city, and I know quite a few, I'm proud to know many Jewish men and women in this city, to a man and woman, they support the BDS boycott, divestment and sanction movement against Israel. To a man and woman. Unbelievable, isn't it? We're going to tell councils, we're going to make it illegal to boycott Israel. We're going to make it illegal for a council to make a majority decision, a democratic decision, to say we're not going to buy this product that we need for whatever, or this or whatever. We're not going to buy it from Israel because we don't approve of what they do in the concentration camp that is Gaza. Good stuff in the Express. Also in the Sunday Express today. This might drive you a bit mad now. Headline, government's intrusive well-being surveys quizzes school pupils on habits at home. Primary school pupils are being quizzed in the classroom about how much alcohol their parents drink. Eh? How many toys and computer games they have. And even how often they are allowed iron brew. This is a terrific article from a brilliant woman called Alison Prowse. Prius, it could be. P-R-E-U-S-S. Price, it could be. Alison Prowse. She writes, the well-being surveys are part of the Scottish National Party government's realigning children's services programme. And they also ask youngsters, how often do you feel that your life is going well? These are the same lunatics in Scotland now who want to bring in the named person scheme. Children are asked how often they brush their teeth, whether their parents have bad fights, and if they have a garden to play in. You starting to get mad listening to this? One question on the survey for children reads, how much do you worry about adults drinking too much alcohol at home? While others probe for information about consumption of fruit, vegetables and fizzy drinks. Wow. A secondary school questionnaire has also been carried out, asking all sorts of questions. But I'm interested in the primary school one. The children as young as 11 are asked if they have ever taken a vast array of drugs This is staggering stuff, this, isn't it? And do you notice the multifaceted... what's the word I'm looking for here now? How multifaceted these questionnaires are. You know, information being gleaned from the children can be given to marketing companies, and also information can be passed to social workers. It covers all bases there. Some of your answers will help us to design new foods and products and video games, and other answers will help us separate you from your child. Eh? Brave New World. 25 minutes past the hour. This is Sunday View, brought to you in association with davidicke.com/headlines. This is tyrannical on an Orwellian, on a Huxley scale. Are you worried about fights at home, eh? Wow. Jesus. There's another story from the Express, but I'm going to leave it for a minute. I'm going to take a very quick break. When I come back, we're going to talk about David Davis and Diane Abbott just for a minute. And there's another excellent story in the Sunday Express today. Three brilliant stories in the Express. I'll bring you the other one after this very short break. You're with Sunday View. 26 minutes past the hour, past 11. Stay with me.
Looking to arrange a mortgage? Confused by all the deals available? Let Manchester Mortgages do the work for you. Take advantage of our free mortgage review offer throughout February and March and see if we can save you money. We are whole of market brokers with access to hundreds of mortgage schemes across the UK. Call us on 0161 706 0242 or go to manchestermortgages.co.uk. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Manchester Mortgages are a trading style of mortgages for you, North West Limited, who are authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Road to Ruin. But today I'm issuing a critical new warning to all British listeners. Britain is under attack, and your personal and financial security is in grave danger. To find out why, visit britainunderattack.co.uk now. The threat of this devastating attack increases every day, and it's crucial you act before it's too late. To see what you can do about it, visit britainunderattack.co.uk right away. It's not too late to prepare. See my full warning at britainunderattack.co.uk today.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
All eyes on Manchester, Saturday, March 4th, 2017. The Awakening at Bowler's Exhibition Centre, Manchester. Join the stars of the Ancient Aliens TV series and the leading figures in the field of ufology and ancient alien theories. Eric Von Daniken, author of the hit book Chariots of the Gods, and Emmy Award winner Linda Moulton Howe. Get tickets now at www.awakeningufo.com.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is The Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com.
Great stuff. It's Sunday View for Sunday, February 12th, 2016. It's not too far away now. David Icke's visit to Iceland. The Worldwide Wake Up Tour kicks off again in March. Go to theworldwidewakeup.com and find all the details, the dates and everything. You have to see it to believe it. It's extraordinarily brilliant. It really is. The Sunday Mail's headline today then, rather sadly, is Give Diane Abbott a Hug. I'm not blind. According to the Mail on Sunday, Brexit Secretary David Davis has been plunged into a damaging sexism row after saying he would not kiss Labour's Diane Abbott, as I am not blind. I think Diane Abbott is lovely. She's cuddly, isn't she? Diane Abbott has that kind of aunt stroke. Yeah, I suppose that kind of auntie type look. You'd love to give Diane Abbott a hug, wouldn't you? All right, maybe not. But maybe not for the reasons he says. The paper reports that he made a light-hearted attempt to hug Diane Abbott after she voted in favour of triggering Article 50 to leave the EU. So this is a non-story, of course, on the front of the Mail. If Davis did say this, it is stupid and it is insensitive. Let's be honest about it. But remember who these people are. This is what makes me laugh, right? These are the people who vote to send planes to bomb Syria. They happily watch Yemen turned into a bloodbath by Saudi Arabia using our weapons. And we express surprise when they behave in a misogynistic way. I mean, give me a break. Yes, no gentleman would say something like that. But why do you expect David Davis to be a gentleman? You know what I'm saying? Now, the tabloids are crap, except for the Sunday Express today, so I'm not going to talk about the Mirror, the Sun on Sunday, which I wouldn't cover anyway. We'll leave the papers alone, except I want to talk about another Sunday Express story. It's an important story. It's an issue that we've covered a lot on this programme. Not so much this calendar year, 2017, but we've covered this a lot. For me, the Sunday Express is the winning paper of the day. It looks like it's cleaned up its act. There are some real examples of journalism in that newspaper today. I'm not endorsing any newspaper. I'm saying today they've done some good work today. The headline is, Tories U-turn on social care would force the elderly to sell their homes. Caroline Wheeler, with the brilliant journalism here, with the excellent a story. Not excellent in terms of what it's talking about, but excellent that it's out there for people to see. Pensioners face having to sell their homes. A senior government officials warned the elderly must take responsibility for looking after themselves. The warning signals a culture shift in policy to make people realise they will have to foot the bill for their care in later life rather than relying on the state. This from Caroline Wheeler. A senior government source said the principal responsibility for looking after people when they are frail and elderly will be themselves, their own finances and their own assets. Now you might remember, and Caroline Wheeler writes about this in her excellent article, that in 2015 the Tories fought the general election with a commitment to introduce rules designed to prevent older people from having to sell their homes when they go into care. However, writes Caroline Wheeler today, within weeks of winning an outright majority, the Tories announced that the introduction of a lifetime cap on care costs in England, which was set at £72,000 for people above state pension age, was going to be deferred until 2020. Deferred meaning it's just going to be disappeared. Out of our manifesto. Doubts have been expressed, writes Wheeler, about whether the cap will ever come into force. The source also said the social care system was different to the free at the point of delivery NHS. This is what the government are saying. Listen to this quote. One of the first things in terms of a culture shift is making sure it is thoroughly understood. People need to realise that the responsibility for their care in old age lies principally with themselves. Imagine. There needs to be a greater awareness and culture of personality responsibility. A sense that I need to save, I need to be in a strong position. The next generation of patients will be a group who have been in the strongest position we have ever had in terms of their own resources. This is terrifying. This is terrifying. I'll tell you why in a minute. Before that, I want you to hear this. Last year, the United Nations said that the UK government's austerity policies are breaching human rights. That was last year, right? Now, last week, the UK government wrote to the United Nations saying, no, we don't accept that. Everything is fine. Here's a report from RT. In the report, you'll hear Kennedy Walker from Take Back the City. Listen to this.
The government has refused to accept its austerity policies of breaching human rights. In a letter to the UN's Equality and Human Rights Commission, Justice Minister Oliver Wilde said he was confident that the UK is complying with its obligations. This comes after a welfare report by the UN published in June last year expressed concerns about the adverse impact cuts are having on the country's social security. It went on to question the ability of the state to alleviate the so-called persistent inequality and criticise specific policies such as the government's bedroom tax and the reduction of tax credits.
So it's worrying that the government's choosing to ignore it. But it's not the first time they've done it. They did it a few weeks ago when the British Red Cross said that the NHS is going through a humanitarian crisis. These are big organisations, so it's very worrying that the governments are just happy to put their fingers in their ears and just pretend it's not happening. This government's put us on a path of austerity and a welfare reform that has meant that the most marginalised in our society are bearing the brunt of these decisions. If we look at elderly people, for example, in the bedroom tax, they said that they would be protected from the bedroom tax. Now we're seeing in 2019, the government may roll that out, which means that elderly people will be £300 worse off, and in most cases, a lot worse.
Yeah, screw the elderly, because the elderly are useless eaters, basically. That's what it is. There is an agenda to turn people against senior citizens in the same way there is an agenda to demonise ethnic minorities. Now, I'm well aware that while we're demonising ethnic minorities, our policies in countries like Syria, in Libya, in Yemen, in Iraq, are leading to the massive migrant crisis that we have. But there is an agenda to turn people against senior citizens, and people are falling for it. I remember we weren't on air very long in 2014 when we covered a survey which returned results showing that younger people, particularly people under 30, held very negative opinions towards senior citizens. Very negative opinions towards senior citizens. We can't wait to get rid of our old. They are an inconvenience to us, aren't they? Elderly people are an inconvenience, aren't they? They're helpless, aren't they? They're always complaining. They're always falling over and hurting themselves. They're a complete pain in the arse, old people, aren't they? They never shut up. That's what we've been programmed to believe. You know what the truth about elderly people is? Do you want to hear the absolute stone-cold truth about elderly people? They raised us. They cared for us when we were at our most vulnerable. They worried over us. They stressed over us. They put themselves up to their fucking necks in debt for us. They gave us the best years of their lives. They gave us the best years of their lives. Nurtured us, educated us, comforted us, listened to us, stood up for us when other people wouldn't. And what do we do in return? We fuck them into homes. We forget them. We moan about them. And ultimately, if the system gets its way, we will fucking hate the elderly. Think about that for a minute. Think about that. And you have your Tommy Robinson maniac, and you have Paul Joseph Watson looking for any excuse to demonise Muslims or anybody who adheres to the Islamic faith. You know, one of the things that disgusts my Asian friends, but they never say it because they're too polite, disgusts them about us. Do you know what disgusts them about us? Is the way we discard the elderly. Older people have knowledge, they have experience, they have life experience. They have an understanding of things. All the old knowledge is with them. All the things we can't do for ourselves now because we're glued to phones. They can grow things. They can read things. They can read maps. They understand the world. We're allowing the system to turn the elderly into an ethnic minority group that can be hated and blamed for the problems of the world and for the financial problems in your country. 21 minutes past the hour. It's a Sunday View in association with davidicke.com/headlines. Sue tweets, "A society that neglects its elderly is a very, very sick society. In Iran, they are shocked at the treatment of the elderly." That's from Sue there. They are, Sue. They are shocked and sickened in As I said, I mentioned earlier on, most of my friends, most of the people I know who are Asian, basically are horrified by the way we treat our elderly. Spirit Samba tweets, how can a government talk about austerity when it's paying private banks billions in interest? No MP talks about this, says Spirit Samba. No, they don't, mate. And Jeremy Corbyn will never talk about it. Rich Mortimer tweets, people need to get their assets, houses and wealth into trusts so that they can't be forced to use them to pay for care. Gail tweets, kids looked after their parents in old age in Iran. I got no problem with that unless they need special needs and special care. It's a very good point, Sue. It's a very good point. She said the elderly have already paid for the NHS all their working lives and they take their pensions to pay for care. That's exactly right. It's exactly right. It's a point I didn't make because I didn't think it was a point that needed to be made, but Gail is right. It does need to be made. These men and women that nurtured, cared for us, stood up for us, looked out for us, were there in our most vulnerable times, gave their best years of their lives to us, they've also paid into the system in triplicate. Jason tweets, you think it's a coincidence that in dystopian films like Logan's Run and In Time, people are allowed to live till 25 years old? That's another good point. La Antenna tweets, the ever sensible Dutch have shared student and elderly accommodation to help maintain connection between the generations. That is a bloody good idea, that. A bloody good idea. Moving on, 19 minutes to the top of the hour. Now, last week we covered Amnesty International's report a lot on basically Amnesty's claims that between 5 and 13,000, I know it's ludicrous, Syrians and rebels were murdered and hung at Sednaya prison over the last 5-6 years. Afshin Ratanzi presents Going Underground for RT. Now, this weekend, he presented a serious special. I want you to hear just a little bit of this. First of all, award-winning foreign correspondent Charles Glass was on the programme. And Glass was asked, why has the US and her allies failed to remove Bashar al-Assad? This is Charles Glass, famous foreign correspondent, speaking with Afshin Ratanzi on Going Underground. He was asked, why has the US and the UK and its allies failed to remove Assad?
The attempt to dispose of the Syrian regime, which was done at arm's length by providing weapons, logistical support to more than 1,000 rebel groups, was never likely to succeed in the first place. All that it was likely to do was ravage Syria in terms you've just described, with the many people who have been killed and wounded and have been forced out of their homes, maybe a third of the population homeless. The prospect for the success of getting rid of the regime was minimal to begin with. The regime is very strong. The security services are ruthless and thorough. The army did not crack as the United States had hoped it would. The rebels were counting on NATO support of the kind that the rebels in Libya received against Gaddafi with Arab airstrikes. That didn't materialize. It was never promised, by the way, so the rebels were actually beginning their rebellion on a misunderstanding that they would get that kind of support. So I would say that the rebellion was doomed from day one, but all that could happen while the rebellion was going on, and it is still going on, is that the country slowly degrades.
Yeah, it was inevitable that Syria would degrade, said Glass. There was no chance of toppling Assad like this. They armed hundreds of rebel groups. And you know, when I say this to people all the time, are you getting it? Are you understanding it? This is the deliberate destruction of a country through mayhem even, bloodshed and mass murder. Trauma. See Jordan Maxwell, see David Icke. Trauma. Now, we covered Amnesty's report, as I said a second ago last week, that the Syrian government killed between 5 and 13,000 people at Sednaya prison. Now, Ratanzi, on Going Underground, in the same programme, spoke with Philip Luther, who co-authored the Amnesty report, which was called Human Slaughterhouse. Great title, eh? Nothing melodramatic about that at all. Here is Philip Luther from Amnesty International, who co-authored the report. Listen very carefully.
Well, our report has revealed that from 2011, the Syrian authorities within a prison on the outskirts of Damascus have engaged in mass killings, mass executions by hanging of what is between 5,000 and 13,000 people, according at least to our calculations. And they've done that by taking people out of their cells, groups of 20 to 50 people at a time, once or twice a week, according to the information we have, and often taken them then to another, to a basement in the same prison, then to another building where they think they're going to be taken to a civilian prison. They have their hopes high because of that. They think they're going to be taken out of this military prison, but then they're subjected to a 1 to 2 minute procedure. It's not a trial, just really a death registration procedure. They have their eyes blindfolded throughout this time, and then the noose is put around their neck. And these mass hangings have been occurring then since 2011, we believe.
Mm. Right, now we demolished this ourselves, and also with the help of some brilliant journalists this week on the programme. Ratanzi, the presenter, challenged this, you're guessing. So you're thinking the presenter of this programme on RT Going Underground challenged the Amnesty guy who authored the report. Well, he might, and he might not have challenged him. Have a listen to this and tell me what you think.
So, no one doubts that a lot of brutality, sure. I mean, the old tragic joke about truth being the first casualty of war.
Yes.
Any fears that the timing of Amnesty International's report, your report, could endanger the very fragile quasi-peace process now happening in Syria?
If a peace process that was ongoing was a reason not to come out with, reports of human rights violations, then we would never do it, because, of course, then there's been a peace process that's been theoretically ongoing for, you know, stop-start with different people at the helm.
Right now, I think the international...
But I don't see in what way this in any way endangers the peace process. I mean, the point about the if any peace process is to be durable, if it's to be sustainable, it has to have human rights at its heart. And that's been, you know, the fundamental problem with so many peace processes around the world. I mean, the classic one, of course, it's a totally different issue, of course, is the Israeli-Palestinian one. Human rights have been absent from the agenda there. And look how quickly that issue has been resolved.
Yeah, but it was again and again, Amnesty International issued reports just before the Iraq war against Saddam Hussein, just before the NATO bombing of Libya, just before the NATO intervention in Afghanistan, just...
And just after as well. No, I mean the point is, if, of course, we're issuing reports the whole time. So, for me, that argument doesn't stack up.
Ratanzi did very well there to draw attention to the timing of previous Amnesty reports like this. That's good presenting, and I'm sure he has a good producer. Now, the Amnesty stooge, Luther, went on to suggest that Syria is referred to the International Court, as has been recommended by the United States. But of course, the United States doesn't recognise the International Criminal Court. Now, I think where Afshin Ratanzi let himself down badly in the interview, all of which is on RT's YouTube channel, in case you think I'm being selective, I never do that. Ever. You can hear the entire interview on the YouTube channel. Where I think he's let himself down badly is he didn't question Amnesty about the source of funding, not only for that report, but also Amnesty's funding in general. We revealed on the programme last week that Amnesty claims the thing it's most proud of is that it can go after human rights abuses in any corner of the world. Right? Because of its impartiality, and it has no ties to any government or any state. But we proved that last week to be bullshit. They take a lot of money, mostly from the UK and the United States of America. And that's the key to it. And I was very disappointed. I was listening to that interview with great interest, that Ratanzi didn't bring up the source of funding. And what that means, dear listener, is if you reduced everything down to Judge Judy or Judge Stephen Rinder, or any of these programmes that we watch, if you reduce it down to this level, Amnesty's report, Human Slaughterhouse, would be burned and torn up because it has no credibility, bearing in mind Amnesty is funded by the UK and the United States. It's as simple as that. It is 11 minutes to the top of the hour. I'm going to do one more story from the Sunday Telegraph. Saw this first thing today. Number of you have tweeted me this story, by the way. And thank you for tweeting the story to me, by the way. Before I read the story, LBC Lady Back Cat on Twitter says, point blank question from a tansy should have been, where's the evidence? That's absolutely right. Of course, where's the evidence? Les tweets, Les Hewitt, is a regular listener. Thanks, Les. When my dad was dying of Alzheimer's, it took years before the authorities paid his entitlements for the nursing homes. Years, Les, and yet your father, not only did your father pay income tax his entire life, but every time he bought a pint, every time he bought cigarettes if he smoked, every time he bought food, he paid taxes. Because everything you do, you're taxed on. Unbelievable. Stevie tweets, Amnesia International, please support your own ignorance of history and subscribe to the state-controlled war agenda. That's Amnesty International. Samba comes back on to say, these sociopaths have no empathy and don't give a shit about the elderly. It sickens me. You're right, mate, you're right, but they couldn't give a shit about the elderly. They are happy for children, some of them only weeks old, to be blown to pieces in Yemen by munitions made in England and given to the Saudis. So, of course, they could give less of a fuck about senior citizens. Huberte says, if anyone wants a reason why not to pay into this system, just look at the way the system pays back the elderly. That's right. That's right. And finally for today, it's flown by this programme. Thanks for tuning in, by the way. The Sunday Telegraph. One of the stories on the Telegraph today. The headline, journalists who obtain leaked official material could be sent to prison under new proposals. Journalists who obtain leaked official material could be sent to prison under new proposals. Wow. Here's a couple of paragraphs of the story. Campaigners have expressed outrage at new proposals that could lead to journalists being jailed for up to 14 years for obtaining leaked official documents. The major overhaul of the Official Secrets Act, to be replaced by an updated Espionage Act, would give courts the power to increase jail terms against journalists receiving official material. The new law, should it get approval, would see documents containing sensitive information about the economy fall foul of national security laws for the first time. What does that mean? Well, the Sunday Telegraph says, pulling no punches, in theory, a journalist leaked Brexit documents deemed harmful to the UK economy could be jailed as a consequence. So if a journalist leaked Brexit documents, they could be put in prison. A legal expert speaking to the Sunday Telegraph said the new changes would see the maximum jail sentence increase from 2 years to 14 years. The new changes would make it an offence to obtain or gather rather than simply share official secrets, and to extend the scope of the law to cover information that damages economic well-being. Now, John Cooper, a QC who's a very well-known human rights barrister, he has jumped straight into this morning and said these reforms would potentially undermine some of the most important principles of an open democracy. What democracy, John? Respectfully, Mr. Cooper, human rights barrister of note, whom I respect, what fucking democracy are we talking about? He's right, of course. Basically, journalists can be put in prison for exposing the corruption and the crimes of the governments of this country. Connect the dots, as my learned friend on the Isle of Wight is always saying. Connect the dots with the fake news agenda, with the parliamentary inquiry to determine what is and what isn't fake news. So when the alternative news in the United States, the alternative media, of which there isn't any, there's no great, body of alternative media presenters in America anymore. there's a few, but not many. They are cheerleading when Donald Trump bangs his fist on the table and says that this organization and that organization and CNN, you don't get to ask me any questions because you're fake news. And the idiots at InfoWars and other places applauding this. It's madness. It's utter madness. That was the Sunday View for February 12th, 2016. There's very little I can add to that. Thanks so much for listening to it. I'm pretty sure I read all your tweets, so thanks for tweeting me during it. I want to remind you, the programme, the live midweek, the live weekly programme, I should say, weekday programme, begins tomorrow at the new time of 7 p.m. GMT. That's 7 till 9. So that works out at 2 p.m. Eastern time, and it works out at 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 7 p.m. GMT, and it's 8 p.m. Central European time from now on. So make a note of that if you're an avid listener to the live show. In the meantime, please enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Really enjoyed your company today. This programme will be online via the podcast very soon, and it'll be on YouTube as well in around about 90 minutes time or 2 hours at the latest. Have a marvellous Sunday. Join me tomorrow. We've got Dr. Nick Begich on the Richie Allen Show and Jim Fetzer. That's tomorrow, Monday. The time, of course, 7 p.m. GMT. Thanks so much for today. Look after yourselves and one another. You and I will talk tomorrow. Bye now.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.